Kathy, do me a favor and bring my glasses to me so I can read this woman. Thank you. Yes, I'm in John. Chapter 17. This is the fourth of a series on judging ourselves to see whether we be walking in the faith as we ought. I know that this sermon doesn't sound too much like it's on that subject, perhaps, but really, if you're looking at what's being said, that's what you use this sermon for, to judge yourself to see whether you be in the faith or not, walking in the faith as you are. So I've entitled it that. Oneness with God and oneness with God's Son is an absolute necessity. Jesus said so. I mean, he said, he prayed that. And if he prayed it for us as his closing chief prayer, and the Holy Spirit devoted a whole chapter to it, I think we can say that it's an absolute necessity. Especially when we see what it's for, that we might be with him where he is. That's an absolute necessity. Now, it is the essence of Christ's prayer, and it is the reason for Christ's death, that we might be with him as he is. The oneness is not just for oneness. The oneness is so that he can take us to himself, because we've got to be one. The scripture says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and he shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, what kind of oneness are we talking about here? Oneness in spirit. So we've got that same spirit. Oneness of the faith, as the Bible says. So we've got the same faith. Speak the same things and be of one judgment, the Greek is. Oneness of our speech. Oneness of our minds. All read the same book with the same openness to receive the same thing. And be teachable, as the scripture teaches us. In the Greek, in Hebrews 13:17, the Greek is be persuadable. Pythos, persuadable. We need to bring ourselves into persuadableness. There are a lot of people that cannot buy a certain doctrine because they're unpersuadable. They don't want it because it might affect their... Well, if I believe that, then those that are with me will think this, and I'll have a falling out with them, and then I got this problem, so therefore, no. We had a person who came here from Bible college from another country and could not accept something, a doctrine, and everybody else had been accepting it. But I think the reason was a clause he said inside, if I go back to my country with this doctrine, I will not be accepted. Therefore, he couldn't handle it. Instead of saying, Lord, you haven't called me to be accepted by people. You have called me to walk in the light as you were in the light. And then let those who come in the light and have a sweet spirit and teachable spirit, and those that are lovely, and those that are humble, and those that understand of keeping the unity of the spirit until we come to the unity of the faith, they will fellowship with me. I mean, Jesus Christ didn't say, now, Father, if I'll be accepted, I'll go out. We cannot take that position. I will never take that position. We need a oneness of our hearts. We need a oneness of our priorities. So we all understand. Jesus is first. Eternal life is the important thing. That is must be first in everything we do. How will it affect the finished product in the kingdom of God? Now there's a strong craving of God's Spirit within us to make us one. We're feeling it. I'm feeling it. There is a move of the Holy Spirit moving God's people into a oneness. Make sure you get in on it. And I'm going to tell you, you that are not do not have ability yet to have a relationship with God, you're not really having something going. If you can bring yourself, if you will get yourself in prayer, it'll cost you something. But if you'll decide to set aside the world and all the things of the world that have taken up your mind, and devote yourself to Jesus, and begin to devote yourself just to love Him. He'll move you into this dance and you'll find a vehicle to express yourself like you cannot in English, you know, or even in other tongues. I mean, it has its purpose, of course, that this doesn't. But this has something that will give you a release in the Spirit, and it'll be a joy to you, and it'll make it easier for you to want to come to services, make it easier for you to love the Lord. It'll do something that will give you a relationship you don't have. And if you eagerly seek it earnestly, it won't be too long and you'll be in it. And that's better than staying out of it for year after year while you look at it. He wants us to be one with Christ, one with God, and one with one another. But there are strong spiritual attacks made against us by an enemy of wicked spirits. Don't you know that when you want to be one with your pastor and your elders and one another and your husband and your wife and all of that, that there is a strong attack being made? Spirits of divisiveness. Spirits of suspicion. Spirits of accusation. Spirits of schism. Spirits of sarcasm. Spirits of isolation. Spirits of fear. Spirits of disdain. Spirits of animosity. Spirits of hate. Spirits of blame. Many, many others. They will attack you. In the hour of your attack, everything will depend whether you have made a policy for your life to stand on the word or to go by feelings that come upon you in such an hour. If you are a victim of living by your feelings, you will accept each demon that comes to you and act out his will. But if you are determined like Jesus to say, get behind me, feeling of blame that's coming on me. Get behind me, you sarcastic spirit that wants to answer him back. It stands written, thou shalt love one another even as I have loved you. Do one good one unto another. Love your enemies. Do good to them that evilly despise you. I rebuke you, Satan. Now get hence. For Jesus said, rebuke the devil and he'll flee from you. And he promised me to tread on scorpions in Jesus' name. And I will not let you come out of my mouth with your words against my brother or sister and cut their heart and hurt them. Even though I have a feeling on me right now that makes me want to triumph over them in this, I rebuke you, spirit, that would set us one against another. We are the same household of faith in God, and I will not do that. And you'll begin to find out that you'll be able to control the city, control your own spirit. And then you'll gain a brother rather than make an enemy. And at this time, when these things come, you'll find that God's Spirit is available. For Jesus said, for every temptation that cometh upon us, and that's what the devil's doing, bringing these temptations, he will make a way of escape. And Jesus said, I am the way. Walk ye in it. He's the way of escape. The pattern son is the way of escape. What you're hearing on these Friday night tapes, if you've bought the series, you're listening and listening and beginning to find out there's a lot of things that you didn't know the first trip. You begin as you're centering on it, you'll find that when these demons of blame and various things hit you, that the life of Jesus is the way. You open to him, as you rebuke that, you open to the Lord's Spirit and say, Jesus, you sit and rule in my life. Not I, but Christ that dwells within me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm going to walk worthy of the vocation which you have called. I am your ambassador, and I shall speak for the King. And then you look the person in the eye and say, now I'm ready to answer you. See? You're not ready to answer when you first get a feeling hit you from the underworld. You have to first try the Spirit. Let me see your pass. Let me see your birth certificate. Your creation certificate. Let me see your visa. What country are you from? Who are you that are coming upon me? I'm going to try you and check you out by the word. Now, do you believe in sweetness or revenge? Revenge. You are denied entrance. I don't invite you into my house. You can't come into this temple. Get out. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So you will not use these instruments to broadcast from. You will do no broadcasting from this station. For you and I got different doctrines. And I am discriminating against you. This is what we should do. And if we'll just be careful to lay hold of these things, we can defeat the devil. But you know, if you just like, if he's just saying, you're getting very sleepy now. You're getting very sleepy. Now you are under my control. Now, be sarcastic. Sarcasm, sarcasm. Here's a neat thought to give him. This will be so funny. This will really set him in his place. You'll be riding high with this one. See? When you get that thing coming in, we need to then stop and say, wait a minute. What is happening? Who is in this house? Who is in this house? God's Spirit is available to overcome these warriors that are from the darkness of this world. And he will begin sending angels. Jesus said, hereafter, because I have died for your sins, rose for your justification, and ascended to the Father, you shall see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Because I am the way. I am that way. And because I shall, by my death and resurrection and my ascension to the Father, I shall put up a staircase clear to heaven. And you can't go up it right now. But I'll send angels down to you. They'll come back up. They'll come back down. I'll be sending angels. You'll be seeing the traffic heading between them and you. When you come into the church of the firstborn, you come to an innumerable company of angels. They are ministering spirits to minister to the saints who are the heirs of salvation. And he'll send angels of love, angels of acceptance, angels of forgiveness, angels of blessing, angels of sweetness, angels of unity, angels of oneness, angels of faith, angels of sanctification, angels of joy, angels of commitment, angels of truth. They'll change your life. And even as you feel like these demons when you entertain them, if fear comes in, spirit of fear, you feel fearful. Spirit of hate, you feel hateful. Spirit of spite, you feel spiteful. Spirit of schism, you feel schismatic. Lust, you feel lustful. But when you get a spirit of love, you feel loving. Spirit of forgiveness, you feel forgiving. Spirit of sweetness, you feel sweet. You will manifest the angel you yield to. We're under attack by powerful spirits, principalities and powers in high places. And we must discern them, we must kill, we must fight. One of the things I've noticed about our nation, which is the reason we're going down, and you hear the on the drain, this nation is not protecting itself. The government is doing nothing to protect itself against pornography, lewdness, wickedness, adultery, fornication, sin, nothing. It has totally abandoned its post of being a moral watchdog for the nation. They have given up all a position of responsibility, feeling responsibility, to care that the nation walk in rightness and righteousness and godliness. And there are heathen nations. There are heathen nations that will not let you in the country. If men got long hair, if women and men dress certain ways, if they come in with rock and roll music, and so they will not let them in the country. They'll put you in jail. I know what I'm talking about. But this nation is abandoned, who is a Christian nation, has abandoned its post entirely. And this nation is not fighting. Communists would say, we will bury you. They have told us that. Gus Hall in this nation has said to them, he will give you, ministers like to sing about the blood of Christ, will give you blood, your own blood. They have sang songs how they'll chase us to the border of our country and drive us into the sea. They have already plotted for the demise of this nation. They said the United States will be we're going to take the whole world and you shall fall like an overripe plum and fruit into our hands. And they're taking the world. They got half of it now. They're on the march. And this nation has been selling to the communists, selling computers, phosphate, chemical factories, all kinds of things, along with other nations. We've been building up the communists, making them favored nation status, you know, a while back. Favored nation status, if you can believe it. And then with red China, you know, as though red China's not red, you know, help them against Russia. I mean, you know, that is the dumbest thing I ever heard of. We need to really pray for a president. He'll red China's got hundreds of MiG-21 fighters bought from Russia. How can you imagine an enemy selling you fighter planes that they make? Because China can't make these complex, sophisticated planes, and so Russia sells them to China, but they're really afraid of them, at war with them, and mad at them? No way. They're blood brothers. They're satanic, communist, anti-capitalistic, anti-Christ blood brothers, and they're both sitting here doing a little bit of feuding, but that's no big deal. They'll join together against communist Christians, capitalist Christians any day. They get a chance to divide the pie up later. I mean, just because they feud a little bit, that doesn't mean anything. It's like a husband and wife will fight together and then they'll turn together and fight against somebody else. They're in the same camp. This nation is not protecting itself. They allow communists to sell literature in this country, run for president of the United States, give speeches, speak at universities, and they're guilty of treason. You don't go in Russia and run for premier of Russia on an anti-communist, anti-Russia basis and say, we will bury you and run for premier and get the people's votes. You don't do something like that. This nation has totally lost sight of its place in God. And God is under judgment. Right now there's a letting process going on until the out-translation. He will let until out of the midst he be suddenly gone. And that's not the Holy Ghost. Because if it's the Holy Ghost, there will be no way to take care of the witnesses during the tribulation and others that need the Holy Spirit and the remnant of her seed, of the woman. That Holy Spirit is staying on his people. They prophesy by the Holy Spirit. He's not out of the world. That's the man-child company. That's the saints of God. They were a part of the great man-child, Christ. We've got to call upon God. We've got to decide our faith. We've got to decide about feelings. We've got to decide about actions. Now, how do these spirits affect our wills subtly? Let me tell you what they do to us. Let me tell you how they come in and affect us. We want to accept others as being in Christ, forgiven, don't we? But we won't accept ourselves as being in Christ, forgiven, sometimes. Some of us, see? We won't accept our own sins, condemnation. We live under condemnation. One accepts somebody else and forgive them freely and won't forgive yourself. That's how the spirits affect you. Didn't make any sense, but see, what demons do don't make sense. And we want God's leading to help us, don't we? Don't we? But we won't follow. No, when I say we won't, I don't mean we blanket won't, but I mean when these spirits come and affect us, if we allow them to, then we won't. That's what I'm meaning all the way through here, so bring that qualification. We won't follow what he has made plain to us. We want him to lead us. Lord, what do you want us to do? Show us the way. Show us what to do. It's like saying, well, where do we go after we come down to Eleutheropolis? Where do we go next? And he said, well, why do you care? You haven't even followed the map down to Eleutheropolis. It doesn't do any good to tell you where to go from there if you won't even find there. You won't follow what I've given you. And you want to know a direction. Come down, take care of what I've given you, and then I'll give you more. Amen. And see, that is a problem. That's how these spirits affect us. They make us always want more to know how, but we won't follow what we've got yet. Who said the way to get there is to follow what I've already given you? First of all, go up in the high country I've given you, down to the valleys I've given you, follow the plan I've given you. That's how to get there, and then I'll keep giving you more. I'll lead you and guide you into all truth. But you can't just forget what I told you and don't go where I tell you and then keep asking for more. And that's what we do. You wouldn't think we'd be that dumb, but see, the enemy is clever. And then we want God to give us things to help us love him and receive his love, don't we? But then, we won't take advantage of what He's given us to do this. He's already given us a whole lot to express our love to Him. And we're looking for something new when we haven't taken care of what He's given us. We're not using what we've got yet. Get ammunition all around us, calling headquarters for some more ammunition so we can fight. Use what you got. Use that up, call for some more. And we want to dance before doing the service, before the Lord, to show our love for Him. But then some won't dance before the service and after the service to love Him. See, the title of this message is Judge Yourself to be whether you're walking in the faith or not. And we want God to show us what He wants us to do to surrender to Him. But we won't give up what God and His Word and His pastor says to surrender. And we won't give ourselves to God as asked. Lord, help me to surrender. He says, well, do what you've been asked. Well, what should I do? I'll give you anything, Jesus. He said, well, you haven't given me the last 12 things I've asked for. The pastor just got through asking this, and you're not doing it. He just got through bringing a message on this, and you just shovel it off to one side and says, not my will, but thine, O Lord. Take me through the garden, whatever you wish, Lord. What do you want me to do, Lord? Just show me. See how blind we be? Really, what do you think about that? The angels wagged their heads. You know, they must be wagging their heads. Speaking of the men of men now. We want the results of our New Testament covenant. But then we won't keep the covenant. We want the results of the contract. We want to claim the contract rights, but won't keep the contract. We won't pay our dues. We want our Lord's love, and we want His favor. But we won't give Him all of our hearts and obey Him. We want His love, but won't give Him our hearts. We say, love me. And He goes to love us, and we stiff on Him. We say, just love me. And then we turn our shoulder to Him, and you know, we won't give ourselves to Him. And many are praying for a revival, but they won't recognize and take care of the revival we've got. They won't move in the revival we've got. God is reviving. Yes. Definitely. Yes. And some want a stereotyped Wesleyan revival or a Pentecostal revival. But God won't send it.
Right.
Because God doesn't go back to the past.
Right.
He doesn't have Wesley Hill.
Right.
He doesn't have Brother Seymour Hill.
Right.
He's going on.
Yes.
To a new place. Yes. We have past Passover. We have past Pentecost. We're going on to Tabernacles. And if you bring this to them, they would say, no, that's not true, brother. You do me wrong. All I want is holiness in God's people. That's all I'm looking for. But they want it by 1800 A.D. methods. And they want it in an 1800 A.D. format. Not by the method that God is choosing to bring. And I know there's not very many in this place. I know there's not very many. But if there's one, there's too many. And I'm going to tell you in all love, brother, sister, if you're in this place, you're a little bit blind. You're a little bit deceived. You have a spirit that is deceiving you. You need to be very, very careful to reject how God is moving, because it's not like you have planned for Him. That's what happened to the Pharisees. That's how they missed Him. They had it all planned out in their Torah. He would come in like manner as Elisha saw Him go. He'd come in a flaming chariot. He'd step off and embrace those who were true to the Father, not the prodigal son, and put His arms around the Pharisees, around the Sadducees, maybe the Essenes, around the Habrium, and say, well done. And then He'd bring judgment upon the prodigal sons, all the Amahal Rez Jew, the religious negligent Jew, the sinners. And He didn't come that way. He thought He'd step off in a kingly raiment, overthrow Rome, become the Messiah, and bring in the millennium. And instead he came as a little babe in Bethlehem, from little Nazareth, carpenter's son, born of a virgin, came lowly, and he came with compassion for the lost and correcting the religious leaders, and they could not handle it because it wasn't in the format and according to the methods that he had outlined for the Messiah. And if you're looking for old-fashioned Wesleyan, Charles Finney, Moody type of revival, you're not going to get it. God is coming in new ways and do new things. And even as the Bible says, they did not recognize the day of their visitation. God visited them and they did not recognize it. There are some, not many, who have not recognized the visitation of the Lord in this place. And they have let the tradition and the certain demonic feelings become make a barrier, and they rejected what the Holy Spirit was doing because it wasn't according to their sophisticated theological traditional format. You know, when you get right down to it, it does seem, well, how can this dancing, how can that do anything for the Lord? I mean, how can banging your hands together, how does that do anything to you? But people know that when people open up to express and clap, it is more than when you're, you know, how can that do anything for you? How can more volume of the vocal cords make any difference? How can raising hands make any difference? How can standing up make any difference? But you know that if you sit,
a mighty fortress is our God,
you don't get the same thing out of it as the person that stands, throws up his arms, lifts his face to heaven, claps, sings, dances, jumps, shouts, or whatever. See, you've got to put, your soul has got to have something to manifest itself through. And you can give all the reasons why. I don't see any reason you have to pray out loud. You can't prove you have to pray out loud. You can go to all this kind of stuff, but you won't get the same out of it. God has made us as vehicles to Him. And each thing by itself doesn't seem in itself, intrinsically, to do anything or mean anything. But oh, what a difference it makes inside. And same with the dancing. And the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, by itself, it's foolishness. It's foolishness to the world. The Bible says it is. The cross of Christ is foolishness. You know, some man dies on a cross, and all you people think that from then on, you're all changed, and then you have eternal life just because somebody dies on a cross on Calvary 2,000 years ago.
That doesn't make any sense.
See? But it's working for us. See, God could have chosen something a lot more rationalistic and highbrow and sophisticated, but He didn't. He took something demeaning, what the liberals are calling the slaughterhouse religion. He's taken something, you know, that's not pretty, that's an enigma that we can't make real good sense out of. We have to approach by faith, and we find it works. And you get to approach the revival that way, because He'll do things you don't understand. You'll begin laughing in the Spirit, and you say, well, where do you find that? Yeah, not to find it. It's coming all in done, and you just can't stop it. As my wife was alluding to a while back, is that after this, another day, they just laughed. They couldn't stop laughing. And it's not the first time it happened. And somebody began to weep in the Spirit.
Well, where do you find that?
You don't have to find that. The Holy Ghost is doing it. He has never said, I will never do anything I haven't done and recorded. Never has He said that. All through the Bible, from the beginning to the end, there's new things happening that would never happen before. Joshua said, Son, stand thou dumb on the plain of Gibeon.
Oh, where do you ever find out that happened in the Bible?
He didn't. Lord, I'm laying a fleece before you. If the ground be wet and this be dry,
where do you ever find that?
See? things. Moses comes to the Red Sea, stretched out his rod for the water to... Where did you ever find that? See? Comes to the water of Meribah, throws in the branch. Where did you find that? See? The whole Bible is full of new things all the time. And it'll continually to be that way. God's angels, or God's angel, I should say an angel of the Lord, taught me to sing. And that's the truth. And I'll make the testimony again very short. I am not a singer, never have been a singer, and I was in the shower one day, and I just said, Lord, I need a singing angel. I never heard of one.
Well, that written?
I never heard of one. I never heard anybody ever getting one. It just came out of my mouth, out of a desperation. And it happened. I was the next week, and there I was in the morning praying, and all of a sudden, the Spirit came into me, and I began to sing totally different, in a different level of singing. And I found myself singing right with the singers. And for the first time, I didn't feel intimidated, and I could keep up with them. And it sounded good even to my ears. And I never edified myself before. I had to hook into somebody else and let them drown me out. And here I was singing away. And then that spirit, it would leave. And other times, I would come back again. And I could tell when it came in. And I could tell when it... But it, then when it was not here, I find myself singing that same way. In the same tone. In the same direction. I changed my singing completely. And he taught me how to sing. I don't do as good as when he's there, but I now have a whole new way. It's helped me. Now, I'm saying this because I want to say something down the road just a little bit. The same thing happened in the dancing. I couldn't get out here. And I gave you the testimony. I felt pulled at times, but boy, I just could not break that sense. And I thought, well, I'll just come out here when nobody's here and just force myself to break that inhibition. And I came down with nobody here into this room, turn these front lights on. And I got out there and I just started to go. And I didn't go very long. And I was 10 times, yea, 100 more discouraged than when I started. In fact, I wasn't discouraged when I started. I said, I'll never dance. I came away from that feeling. I cannot. There's no way. It's not in me. It's not a part of me. I can't do it. I felt clumsy. I felt inability to even make the simplest movements. Boy, I came away totally devastated. I don't recommend you try that. When I got off of that floor that day, I was all over that floor just a-going, just a-moving. I was really sailing, and I knew exactly what to do and how to do it, and I felt it, and I felt that thing in me, and I didn't have to do anything but ride. I mean, I just felt that thing. I felt like I just knew exactly what to do, you know. It was just full of energy. I just knew it. He taught me how to dance, and he isn't always with me. But now I know how. He's taught me how. This is quite marvelous. Now, before I make my next point, I'm going to move off on the side a minute and make this point. Satan's angels have also taught us. They taught us how to sing and dance in the world. You know. There are people out there, you see them, they snapping their head and jerking and moving. They know exactly how to move. They got a spirit in them. You can see them coming down the walk. You know, I can't do what they do, but thank the Lord. But the snapping and jerking, I've never been there. And you can tell, I mean, they're possessed by a spirit. They know, they're doing what that spirit's doing, and they're in it. I mean, they're jiving and whatever it is, they're right there with that thing. And he teaches them. He teaches them how to entertain in the world. That's right. They can do all kinds of certain things because then they got a spirit to help them do it. He teaches them how to lie. He teaches them how to hate. How to cheat, how to gossip, how to blame. I mean, he's taught the world to be sophisticated in warfare and how to fight. That's right. He has taught them to do twisted sex. He's taught them. He has made the homosexuals. They were of his workmanship. See, God never created it that way. He's created them to love something that you couldn't possibly love, to do things that make no sense, that there's no affinity. See, there's no pull in that direction. Right. You never did see two buck out in the forest going along with each hoof over the... going along with the... Never works that way. Demons leave them alone and they'll flee. It's always male and the female. They all the animals of the world know it. Only man has been twisted that way. So he doesn't know straight up. He flunks biology 101. I'm going to what? Well, God's angels are going to teach us to love. His spirits of love are going to come down, and as we are praying for one another and dancing for one another and in relation to one another and ministering to one another, even as a spirit of hate in one person and a spirit of hate in the other person will start fighting, the spirit of the Lord in one through an angel and an angel in another will start loving. And they will start connecting in love. And they will love the other one, the other angel, through you. They will love the Spirit of the Lord in you. This one will love the Spirit of the Lord in you. This one will love the Spirit of the Lord in you. And they'll find a love. And then when they leave you, they'll teach you how to love. I have come to the conclusion recently, even as they have taught me to sing and taught me to dance, they'll teach us to love. They'll teach us to be sweet. They'll teach us to be gentle and to be lovely. You see, we need help. And the Spirit of the Lord will come to our rescue. We're not in relationship just to have free exercise with the Father. So he sends his angels. But the day is coming when we're going to be able to have a more free exercise. He tells us to fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ the righteous, and to walk in heavenly places and to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And most people have interpreted that as sitting in earthly places with Jesus, talking about religious things. And that's a long ways from sitting in heavenly places. But he's getting us there. He's calling us to it. And he's going to teach us step by step. He's going to do this for us to drive out these spirits that are troubling us and carry us. And through his angelic messengers, even as he sent an angel that came to Jesus, the Bible is full of angels if you're going to read it. Full of it. Hundreds of scriptures about what he does for his saints. And they will minister through them. He's ministering spirits, coming to minister to them that are the heirs of salvation. He'll minister through us, and we'll find out. You'll be entertaining angels in here, unawares at times. Not even know where you leave off and they start in. And we need to yield to the angels of God in every area of goodness. And if anybody says there's no scripture that says you should yield to an angel or seek angels, I'll say I do have a scripture. And in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 14, where the scripture says you are zealous of spirit, and it's a spiritual gifts, you know, the Bible, the Greek does not say that. If you will start looking at Greek lexicon, Greek word studies, if you will make a close study of that verse, you look at about 15 different sources, you'll find over and over again, they'll say, literally, zealous of spirits. This is not the same Greek word that says that is spiritual. And they'll tell you so. This is not the same Greek word at over here that tells you, I would not have you to be ignorant about spirituals. You know, spiritual bracket things, or spiritual whatever, or spiritual bracket gifts, or spiritual bracket administration. It doesn't tell you what. Spiritual things. But this is not that word. It is spirits. And it can't be zealous of demonic spirits. It has to be unfallen spirits. And it's not spirit singular. It's not the Spirit of God. Zealous of spirits. And we are to seek to excel to the edifying of the body by seeking the spirits of God that would come. And the Bible tells us, women, you're to wear long hair because of the angels. See, a lot of people can't get their theology put in place yet. They don't know what to do with all this because of the angels. What angels? You come to them, the Bible says you come to the church of the firstborn to an innumerable company of angels. I mean, if demons are bothering us, angels are helping us, brother. After all, they're not going to... Why should they come and help Hagar and all the saints of God in the Old Testament and not do anything for us? So, well, because we get the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus said that even the little ones have angels. And their angels always beholding the face of the Father, which is in heaven.
Yeah.
They've got angels.
Yeah.
Ministers are fond of, they'll read over here, he'll give his angels charge over thee, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Satan brought that to Jesus to apply it to him, too. They'll quote that. They want to deny anything else. All of a sudden, because it's not according to the way they've been thinking. But we're going to find out that people did not realize how much demons were interacting with Christians and how much angels are interacting. Now, with that, I go on. I go on to quit. He makes his last statement in closing. The devil has messed the whole world up, and he's messed the church up. But everything depends on who we yield to and who we make king in our lives. Now, I'll continue this message next week. God bless you. Would you stand during this closing song? And immediately after the song, you are dismissed.